Okay, brethren, Genesis chapter 1, we'll begin reading, and we'll just read the first five verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now the scriptures teach us that the believer is made a new creation. Right? A new creation, a new creature. And this truly is what matters, is being made a new creature in Christ. The three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, makes believers a new creation. Now we can go here to the creation of the heaven and the earth and see how God makes His creation, how He makes this new creation, a sinner, a new creature. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, this creation began with God. It began with the Word. And that's how this new creation begins. It begins with the Word. The Word. Now, be looking to Hebrews chapter 11. The natural mind wants proof. We want proof. Hebrews 11:1, God declares through the Spirit that He doesn't prove, He reveals. He reveals. And when He gives faith, the sinner has all the proof we need. Verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Look at verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We understand that. Can we define that and explain that? We don't have to. We understand it. We believe this. Now, it says here, by the Word of God. Now, everything in this book is declaring to us the glory of God in the salvation of sinners in the face of Jesus Christ. It's how we're finding out who God is. It's how He saves sinners in Christ. And it says here, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now if you look to John chapter 1, we're going to see these same three words that we saw in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. Now this is the beginning that came before the beginning in Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Now we've come to the second beginning. You see, the in the beginning in verse 1 and you see in the beginning in verse 2. Verse 1's the beginning before Genesis 1:1. Verse 2, we're talking about Genesis 1:1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Talking about things that were made there now. The world's being framed by the Word of God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look down now at verse 14. Who is this Word we're talking about? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this came when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. He was made flesh. But He is that Word that was in the beginning before the world was made. And He is that Word that was in the beginning when the world was created. And He is that Word by whom everything was made. Now, here's a few things to get from that. First, we see He is the man. Jesus Christ, the man, is the Word that was in the beginning. And then He was manifest in human flesh. And we see here that there was a beginning before He made the world. In that beginning, there was a Word. Everything begins with the Word. This is why the glory goes in all things to the Word, the Word, the Word. Because in that beginning, there was a covenant made, an everlasting covenant. Covenant is a word. Is a word between God the Father and God the Son. A word. A word. And that is truly how everything was purposed and predestinated and foreordained, and all spiritual blessings were given to those the Father put in Christ in that covenant, in that word. And it was the very reason God made the world. Was to manifest Himself to a people He would create and save out of sin. Now, in the same manner that that heaven was created and that earth was created in the beginning, God is showing to us how He makes sinners new creations in Christ and how He fulfills that covenant word that was established from the beginning. That was really when the new creation was made. That was really when the world was made. Everything was done from the beginning. And then the Lord made a stage to show it to us. And He put us on it to show us what He's done and come forth and do that which He said He would do. Now, look here in verse 2 of our text. Now, hold your place in John. We're going to come back there. Let's see this progress along. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now this fits the description of sinners as we are born into this world the first time. This is a good illustration of us. Without form means vanity. Void means empty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. In the innermost being, that which is the man, we're darkness. Darkness. Now that's a gloomy picture. That's what we are as we come into this world. But now look at verse 2 again. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at John 3 with me. John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to the Lord. Verse And he was telling the Lord what he knew, what he knew, what he thought. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." Here is the Word speaking the Word. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He couldn't see. Nicodemus couldn't see who Christ was. He couldn't see who Christ was. No man can see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Can't enter into these mysteries, can't enter into this glorious good news, can't enter in, can't understand, and can't enter in at last into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's without form, it's void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." It's something newly created. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows," and he gives this illustration with the wind. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going." And he says, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You see, the wind moves upon us. We don't move upon the wind. We don't stop the wind. We don't control the wind. We don't do anything to the wind. The wind does everything upon us. And we read here, "The Spirit of God moved upon the waters." The waters were without form. They were void. They were dark. The Spirit moved upon the waters. And so the sinners moved upon by the Spirit of God. Now, verse 3 in our text. Keep your place there in John, back in verse 3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Here again we have the Word. God said. God said. God spoke light, and it was. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He is that light. When he says, "Let there be light," there's light. Like, it'd be like trying to stop an ant trying to stop a man from entering into a room. When God enters in, he's the light. He's the light. "He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast," the psalmist said. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Spiritual life is by God speaking life, by God speaking light into dead, void sinners. It's called revelation. You remember the leper, leprous from head to toe, just covered in leprosy. A good picture of that vanity, of that confusion, of that deep spiritual depth of sin and nothingness. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When he had thus spoken, the Scripture said, when he had thus spoken, "Lazarus, come forth." When he had thus spoken, "Lazarus, come forth." He that was dead came forth. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was covered in a napkin, showing us that he was dead. Everybody knew he was dead. But when he spoke it, he came forth. The Word. All right, let's go back to John 1. John chapter 1. I asked you to hold your place there, and I didn't hold my place there. John chapter 1. All right, verse 4. It says, in him, in this Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. And it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, there in Genesis 1, it says, the light, God commanded the light, and it was. Now, here he's giving us a parallel scripture here of this. That just as that light shined in darkness, Christ the light came, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, before Christ came, everything begins with the Word. And this Word who creates everything is the Word who's sovereign to do as He will. And everything begins with the Word. And before the Word, Christ Himself came forth, He sent forth a witness. One that He had actually done this in, made a new creation. And one He had filled with light and spoke light and was dwelling in. And that one came forth, and He came forth speaking the Word of the Word. Look, verse 6. There was a man, John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. The fact that He was sent, the fact that He came, the fact that He rejoiced and delighted was a witness of this power, this Word. But He came forth speaking this Word. He came to bear witness of the light that all through Him might believe. He was not that light. This man was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Christ the light, the life, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And this is true, whether a man knows Him or not, Christ gets the glory for being the light we have in this earth. And yet, dead, void, empty sinners comprehended Him not. They believed not on Christ. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. We're not talking about simply men who didn't have the Word of God. We're talking about men who had the written Word of God. They had this light, but they were still void and empty and dead within and didn't have Christ the light. And they didn't comprehend the light. They didn't lay hold of the light. This is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Wouldn't come to the light, wouldn't step into the light, wouldn't approach the light unless we be found to be a cockroach that hates the light. But some believed. How did they believe? Verse 12. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, how did that come about? How did that happen? How did they believe on Him? How did they receive this all the right and privileges of being called sons of God, of knowing they're sons of God, accepted of the Father, beloved of the Father, everlastingly loved of the Father, chosen of the Father, redeemed by the Father and His Son? How did they come to understand and believe and lay hold and come out of darkness into this light and lay hold of the light? How did this happen? Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Of God. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And Paul tells us this is the purpose. This is the purpose for which he was called. This is the purpose for which he was sent. This is the purpose for which he received mercy. And this is how it came to be with him. It pleased God. Why did God, who was in the beginning, who was self-sufficient, why did he choose to do these things the way he did them? Why did he choose to make the world and all things in it and do that? Because he would. That was his will to do it. He did it that way. Why does he leave sinners here? Why does he send forth an earthen vessel? Why does he do these things? Because it pleased him. And all the glory goes to the Word, Christ, the Word, God, the Word. 2 Corinthians 4:6, he says in verse 4, or verse 3, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, blind, void, empty. Those that he came to, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the men in religion in Jerusalem, everywhere, they didn't receive him. They didn't receive him. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, this is how it came about. And this is how it always comes about. And this is how it shall come about. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Word, through the Spirit of God, moving, speaking, saying, let there be light, and there's light. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, we can't stress enough Christ, who is the Word, who is God, who was with God and who is God, who is the covenant given. The covenant made, the covenant given, whereby we perceive the covenant. The sign in heaven and earth, the sign, the covenant is in Christ, the Son of God. Given. The Son given. Child born, the Son given. And we can't stress enough the fact that he chose to do everything the way he chose to do it. And as sovereignly as he created that first creation, he's able to create a new creation through the Word and send forth earthen vessels filled with the Word, through whom he speaks the Word, and he creates light and life and makes within this world of chaos a new world. A new creation. And not only this, when these bodies perish and they go back into the grave and they become dust, so that in the end all they are is dust. And if you tried to find them, if you and I tried to go in and find them, we couldn't find anything but dust. Yet God will raise up out of the dust a new glorified body likened unto His glorified body. And therein is a new creation of God, just as this inner creation is new of God. And when He's done with this earthen vessel called the world and the worlds and the heavens and the earth and everything that He made here to show us what He's doing, when He's done with all of it, He'll make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells nothing but righteousness, so that everyone there has only one to praise, the triune God, the one God in the three persons, in the express image of that one who is in whom we are one, who is Jesus Christ, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, so that we can say with assurance, and forever, in a world that shall never end, that shall never be interrupted, and shall never have chaos and confusion in it, and never have anything but uninterrupted oneness with this God that we so feebly try to set forth and understand. And He does this through the Word, through the Spirit of God, moving upon the sinner. And He speaks life. And He says here in Genesis 1:4, "And God saw the light that it was good." That light is Christ. And the goodness that every believer is, wherein this thrice holy God can say He's good, is that good and perfect, holy goodness of God, Christ the light. And God divided the light from the darkness. There's still darkness in us, but that light is altogether separated from that darkness. It's altogether different. It's altogether something new. Something new. And God called the light day. We're children of the day. We walk in the day. Not children of the night. We don't walk in the night. We don't stumble in darkness. We have the light. Any man believe on me, he shall have the light. He has it. And the darkness He called, the day He called, the light He called day, and the darkness He called night. And this was the first day. And you go through this life and you're looking at creation, trying to understand it, trying to prove it, trying to make some sense of everything. Why am I here? Why was this made? Why was all this done? What does that mean? What does this mean? Making things out of things that exist already and trying to act like we've created something, and doing the same with religion, taking things that God's given, that's already there, that's already done, and trying to piece them together and make ourselves some kind of creation. Doing all these things and trying to understand things by looking at creation. But when God speaks, and He does this, we see God, and then we understand creation. Then we understand what was already made, what was already done, what was already spoken, what was already written, what was already done when it came to us. And we see and behold and rejoice. And the Lord put it this way: "The sun then shall no more be the light, your light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee." Well, doesn't it still? We see now it doesn't, don't we? It's just something there to show us something greater. "But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, thy God in thy glory." All right, amen.